Part 3. Mercedes felt like her head was going to explode. Even as a person used to dealing with administration, she felt like she was barely keeping up, and she was beginning to regret accepting Charlie's suggestion that they get married this quickly. The catering was the least of her problems. Her mother and father had offered to drive up in their van with enough food to feed an entire army on a week of field maneuvers. Despite her not having seen them for a long time, and actually feeling a little bit like their lives had diverged to a point where they would have little to talk about, she was happy they had decided to come. Aunt Connie was coming back, but since Jim was currently living in his own guest room, she had allowed Connie to move into her apartment on Mission Street, and had packed all her things up, moving them into Charlie's apartment. She was sure something like that would have annoyed her mother, who, with her old-fashioned Catholicism, would have preferred that they live apart until after the wedding. But she didn't care. She had no desire to pretend she was still a virgin to please her mother. She and Charlie had visited Fay Park, which was every bit as cute in real life as in the pictures she'd looked at. There was even a board fence that closed the park off from the street, giving them privacy during the party. Charlie had contacted the company that usually handled Cole's events, and they had agreed to give him a very good deal on waitstaff, beverages, and everything else. She had been to the florist and had chosen flowers. She had tried on dresses until her back hurt, but had finally found the right one. She had to do it alone, since her only female friend, Clarice, had moved away, and Rhea had downright refused to sit through a day at a dress shop. Fortunately, the dress stores had very kind employees who enthusiastically spurred her on while stuffing her with cake and champagne until she was more than a little tipsy. She had ended up having to take an Uber home and pick her car up the next day. Her wedding cake had been a problem in itself, because finding a baker able to deliver on such short notice had proven very difficult. Eventually, they had to go all the way to Oakland to find a bakery that could promise a chocolate raspberry cake for the special day. On top of her planning, she had to try and at least put in a token effort at the office. Jim, Andrew, and Matt had all worked hard for the past few days, trying to pin down where Maurice was hiding out. It wasn't that Maurice kept himself particularly hidden. Almost every day, the papers had been full of stories about the gruesome killings. Not the least of them, Inspector Secord. His corpse had been sent in a shipping crate to the police headquarters with the return address of Hell, which Jim took for a Jack the Ripper joke. Secord had been drained of blood and had a multitude of cuts on his body, necessitating a closed casket. The funeral itself had been a media circus, and Jim had chosen to stay away. He never liked reporters, and he didn't want to face Secord's wife and children. Even though he had no way of preventing Maurice's killings, he still felt responsible. The creep was, after all, his nemesis, and in some strange way, here in San Francisco, because of him. The papers had, at first, called the killer the Bay Area Vampire, but after an angry letter from the killer being delivered to all newspapers, they had started calling him by his real name, Maurice. "The guy doesn't like working under a pseudonym," Jim had said, and Andrew had agreed. Now every front page was in bold letters. "Where is Maurice? Who can catch Maurice? Will it ever end?" Maurice had attacked a BART station, an ice cream shop in the Mission, a bar in South Beach, and a restaurant in Japantown. A particularly memorable affair had been their attack in the ferry terminal, where they had been caught on video creating a massacre of innocent people for a few minutes before fleeing. The TV stations had apparently chosen to not broadcast images from the event, which had caused Maurice to write them and promise something even worse if they didn't. Still images had appeared in the papers, and there were pirated copies on various websites, but the mainstream media still refused. There hadn't been more attacks on the Tempest team themselves since Rhea had dispatched the assassins the first night, but Mercedes was still very careful when she came and went. She had to assume they were all being followed, and she had asked Charlie to keep on his toes as well. She was worried that he, who wasn't as used to supernatural events as she was, would miss something critical and be taken by surprise by Maurice. However, there was very little they could do. Jim had told them that vampires couldn't be killed by bullets and normal weapons unless you actually chop their head off. Mercedes had no plans to carry a flamethrower in her purse, but she had instead decided to replace her gun with a flask of Aunt Connie's pepper spray. What had started as a joke now made perfect sense to her. A vampire needed eyes to pursue her, and if he was blinded, she might have a chance to escape. Matt came in from the street, closing the door behind him. He had been driving around Dogpatch and Hunter's Point in her car, since he didn't have one, and she didn't need one while she was at the office. His expeditions to different neighborhoods was a long shot, but they all figured that Cougar, with her sharp senses, would perhaps be able to spot a possible vampire hideout. And, if nothing else, anyone watching them would have to follow multiple targets. Andrew and Rhea were meeting with one of Jim's contacts, and Jim had tried to make friends with Inspector Benari, who was now the only one running the department. Benari had reluctantly allowed Jim to become privy to the official police communications to the same level he had when Inspector Charles was alive, and every single report of vampire activity that flowed in, Jim received. Fortunately, even though the vampires of the Bay Area had become substantially bolder, not many of them went to the extremes that Maurice and his friends did. Most were content to hunt at night, and the streets of San Francisco had begun to become unusually empty after 6 p.m. The police had spoken of making a curfew, but so far people seemed to keep one voluntarily, even though it hadn't been issued officially. Mercedes lifted her head from her hands and looked up at Matt, who smiled at her. "Tired?" he said.
"Exhausted, so I'm glad you're returning my car. How did it go?"
"As could be expected." Matt sat down in the chair in front of the desk. "It's not like Cougar has X-ray vision, you know. She can see other spirits, and she can sense when something magic is going on. But according to Jim, vampires aren't magic. They probably look just as human to her as you do, until they bare their fangs and start chomping."
"Yes, thank you. I get the idea."
Mercedes held up a hand.
"Sorry. How's the planning coming along?"
Mercedes sighed and leaned back in her chair.
"I found hotel rooms or Airbnbs for my parents and sisters, Charlie's mom and sister, several of my cousins who don't speak a word of English, which should make for a fun time at the reception, and I've just had a call from the florist that they're out of roses."
"How can you be out of roses? It's like the most important flower of all."
"I don't know, a lot of people getting married at the same time, maybe?"
Matt suggested.
"I think they're just doing it to push up the price. They're talking about having some sent in from Portland."
"Portland, for Pete's sake."
"Well, they do call it the City of Roses."
Matt smiled.
"Cheer up. If it's not roses, it's some other flower." "It's not about that. It's about you and Charlie."
"I know."
Mercedes ran a hand through her hair.
"You know, I'd honestly rather be out fighting monsters than I'd be dealing with this wedding crap for much longer. It's just two more days and it's all over. Don't worry."
Matt handed her the keys to her car.
"By the way, I never asked you, are you going to change your name? Are we going to call you Mrs. McCoy from now on?"
"Actually, we decided to just add it to the list of names I've already got. I'll be Mercedes Juanita Fatima Garcia McCoy Perez."
"Won't that be fun when you're signing checks?"
Matt grinned.
"Anyway, see you tomorrow?"
"Yes, but I'll be in late. I'm meeting my parents at their hotel tomorrow, and we have to find a place where they can cook for us. Charlie suggested we use the cafeteria in Kohl's, and we might do that if they let us.
Okay, then I'll just have to pair up with one of the other guys tomorrow.
Matt got to his feet, took his messenger bag, and slung it over his head.
Call me if you need me. Although I hope not, I'll be at the game night tonight with the guys, and we're about to hit a major quest.
Eternal Wanderer again? Haven't you played it through by now?
It's not like that. The world grows and expands every time they release new content for it. New missions, new monsters, all that stuff.
Well, have fun.
Mercedes began to get up when the phone rang and she picked it up.
Tempest Investigations, how can we help you?
Bob! No, great to hear from you. I'm just heading out the door.
She paused.
A date? You want to bring a date to the wedding?
Sure. It's a buffet anyway, so there's no need for us to rearrange the seating plan or anything.
Does he look like you? I'm already worried about what my parents are going to say about you. They might try and perform an exorcism or something.
A normal guy? Really?
That's cool.
Wow. He's your actual boyfriend? That's wonderful! Of course he's welcome at the wedding. What's his name?
Martin. That's a lovely name.
She smiled, her first real smile all day.
I'm happy for you, Bob. You're an awesome guy. You deserve, well, another awesome guy. Great. I'll see you both there.
She hung up and looked at Matt.
That was probably the best news I've had all day. Can I drop you off somewhere? I don't want you walking the streets on foot.
Sure thing. Can you take me to 42nd and Cabrillo? It's where my friend Brian lives.
I promise I'll take a cab home later. I can afford it now, with what you guys are paying me.
Mercedes picked up her keys and put on her jacket.
Okay, let's go.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
I still don't understand why you can't just show us to the Elysium, Andrew said, and leaned forward in his chair. It would be in your own best interest, is all I'm saying. Alania Coney smiled a thin-lipped smile. The cafe they were sitting in was almost empty, but she still kept her voice very low.
I can't take you to the Elysium, Mr. Picard, for the same reason I wouldn't bring a piece of roast beef into a dog kennel. You would literally be a piece of meat there, and your expected lifetime could suddenly be measured in seconds. Unless someone decided to turn you, of course.
Fine. We'll just wait outside. Diego must go home sometimes, and when he does, we'll just follow him. Andrew gestured with his hand to show how easy it would be.
That won't work. The place has surveillance everywhere. You would be spotted immediately.
She paused.
I'm also not sure if you understand just how bad of an idea it would be for me, as regent, to take you to the Elysium. It could very well mean I would face charges of treason, and with Maurice pulling strings behind the scenes, I'm quite sure I would be torn apart and dropped in the bay.
Jim knows where it is, Andrew said.
He went there. He told me once.
Jim was a special case. For one thing, he's an immortal, and for another, he was there specifically on the prince's personal invitation. Right now, there is no prince of the city, and as I said, as regent, I don't have quite the same leeway, especially since I'm sharing the spot with an adversary.
I'm honestly not too keen on going into the Elysium myself, Rhea said. She had barely touched her cup of coffee. The prince said that Maurice might take control of me with his emotion power. If I face him and he does that, it would be like having a bomb go off in the middle of the city. I could quite literally tear down the towers around people's ears. Which is another reason why I am not bringing you there. Alani smiled. The prince is a wise man, and he knows where to utilize allies.
Well, where exactly is he planning to utilize us?
Andrew said, raising his voice a bit.
Because from where I'm sitting, it looks like he's just twiddling his thumbs. People are dying every day, and not just from Maurice. All the other local vampires are still out there.
I assure you that the prince has all of his subjects in mind.
Alani sipped her tea.
Andrew blew air out in a frustrated sigh. It was obvious that this was going nowhere.
Where is Jim?
Alani asked. I had assumed I was meeting with him.
Jim's busy with the police. They're trying different leads. They actually found one of Maurice's old hiding places, the one where he killed Inspector Secord. Something about a special kind of particles of chalk dust on the clothes. They found an old factory where Maurice had his studio, but he was long gone. Found some really disturbing art, though.
I can imagine.
Alani looked serious again.
Look, Mr. Picard, I will keep you updated on everything I can. I've promised this, and I intend to keep it. Right now, it looks as if the election is proceeding on schedule, and as it stands now, the prince stands to lose, although I suspect most of the voters will be voting out of a mixture of fear and boredom. Peace is wonderful, but for some, it's also tedious.
Right, Rhea nodded in understanding. They want to be able to hunt again, not just have the food served on a platter. Go back to the old days, the Wild West.
Something like that. Although I'm hearing some of them have begun to change their minds after the attempt on your life. I think you scared a lot of the vampire community, Miss Weston.
Alani smiled, but this time it was more genuine.
In fact, I believe you and Jim share the honor of being the boogeymen of the undead community.
I'm not a bit sorry to hear that. Rhea's eyes kept their serious expression.
And you can tell them I said that. Such fire. I must admit, I can see why Jim finds you attractive.
Okay, I have to know, Rhea said. What was it with you two?
How did you end up... We were hunting a vampire, who, in the press, had been dubbed the Avenue Killer. He was a rogue who had entered the city without the Elysium's blessing, had failed to present himself, and refused to follow the rules set by the prince. It was decided that he was too dangerous to hunt alone, and so Jim and I were paired up. It was, at first, slightly awkward, but we grew on each other. We spent a lot of nights together, combing through the park and the avenues. Once or twice we got into scrapes together, and fighting side by side tends to, well, increase the bonding.
Alani lowered her eyes a little.
He's an attractive man, and after a while... Well, one thing led to another after we caught him. It was just the one time, but it's not something you forget.
No, apparently it isn't, Rhea said.
But as I said last time we met, I'm not out to steal your man. At the end of the night, even though we were both immortal, we also both knew it would never work out.
Good to know.
So, if we can forget the soap opera for a moment, Andrew said, is there anything else you can tell us? Anything we need to know about?
Yes, and that's why I called you here today. There is going to be another assassination attempt. Soon, perhaps even tonight.
Let him come, Rhea said. I'll make sure they...
Not on you. From what I understood from overhearing Diego, Maurice has decided to strike at Jim through untested channels.
What do you mean? Andrew said.
I mean his other human employees, his friends, the ones he cares about.
Mercedes moved out of her place, Andrew said.
Connie lives there right now, waiting for the wedding. I pity the vampire that attacks her.
If she doesn't live there, they won't attack there. Diego has instructed them to do some preparatory work this time. It might not be at their house, though. It could be on the street, or at someone else's house. I don't know. All I can do is warn you.
We'd better call Mercedes and Matt, Andrew said. Thanks for the coffee.
He and Rhea got up and headed for the door, while Andrew got his phone from his pocket. Alani remained seated at the table, lifted her teacup, and took a sip.
Good luck, she said quietly.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.